Coming up on Tech News Today, why it might not matter if Twitter's losing money. Instagram is risking ads in its feeds, and can Microsoft save HTC? All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, October 4th, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use offer code TNT10. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zakhtar.
I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we take the top stories in the tech world, let you know about them, put them in some context, discuss them, randomize them, get your feedback on them, and then send you on your way to be the smartest person at the cocktail party, starting with the top 10 stories of the day in the news fuse. Twitter made its public S-1 filing for an initial public offering of stock, likely to come probably sometime in November. The filing shows Twitter has been increasing revenue quickly to $316.9 million in 2012 and $253.7 million already in just the first half of 2013. But the company has also been losing money more quickly, $79 million lost in 2012 and $69 million already lost in the first half of 2013. In cheerful news for investors who believe mobile is the future of everything, 75% of Twitter's 218.3 million monthly active users come from mobile, and 65% of its ad revenue is mobile.
Adobe says that attackers have compromised 2.9 million customer accounts, including their credit and debit card numbers. Though those numbers are encrypted, Adobe's going to reset all the passwords anyway for affected users and warn them of financial risks and offer free credit monitoring. Hackers also took source code for certain apps, including Acrobat and Cold Fusion. The two attacks may or may not be related, according to Adobe. Thanks to SP Sheridan for submitting the story to our subreddit.
It's finally public. The original voice of Siri is none other than Sarah Lane. No, that's not true. It's actually Susan Bennett. She's an Atlanta-based voice actor who also voiced the first ATM, a number of GPS devices, and the Delta Airline announcements. Bennett confirmed to CNN that she is the voice behind Siri, but Apple, they won't confirm that information.
HTC reported its first quarterly net loss since it went public in 2002. The company reported a loss of 2.97 billion Taiwanese new dollars, which is about 101 million U.S. for the quarter ending September 30th. A year ago for the same quarter, HTC reported a net profit of 3.9 billion Taiwanese new dollars. The HTC One has received positive reviews, but the good present press hasn't translated into good enough sales.
Well, Microsoft doesn't care. Microsoft loves HTC's losses enough to want to convince the company to add the Windows Phone platform as a secondary operating system on its Android-based smartphones. In addition to discussing cutting or eliminating the license fee required to use Windows Phone, Bloomberg reports that the talks are preliminary. Nothing's happening just yet. And it's not clear whether this would create dual boot devices or if Microsoft would require Windows Phone to override Android on existing models.
Wow, is Samsung boring? The company just announced its third quarter financial preview and its operating profit looks to be yet another record high. Samsung said their third quarter sales were $55 billion with an operating profit in the range of $9.2 billion to $9.6 billion. Full financial information will be announced later this month.
9to5 Mac reports OS X Mavericks has been upgraded to Gold Master status and released to developers, meaning we should see a consumer release later this month, as expected. 9to5 Mac had earlier reported bugs delayed the Gold status by a few weeks. Apple also released other updates to developers, including new versions of iPhoto and Xcode.
TechCrunch reports that personal assistant app Q has been acquired by Apple for somewhere between $40 and $60 million, and that according to sources, Dropbox had at some point been interested as well. The company won't be shut down post-acquisition, though it did recently shut down its app. If you're wondering, what the heck does Q do? It pulls data from user emails to create a personal agenda. Apple could fold that technology into maybe a more robust Today section in iOS 7's Notification Center.
Rockstar Games is releasing patches for its Grand Theft Auto 5 online services today. An update for PS3 and a similar patch for Xbox 360 should fix issues that limited the number of concurrent users and prevented a lot of folks from accessing the game online at all. The company is also working to fix a bug that can stop players from finishing the online tutorial. In the meantime, Rockstar has disabled the option to purchase cash packs until all players have access to GTA Online.
Microsoft's annual proxy statement suggests that poor sales of the Surface tablet meant that CEO Steve Ballmer received 79% of the total incentive plan award for which he was eligible. Like many other executives, Ballmer receives a base salary and a bonus is tied to the performance of the company. Surface sales hurt that a bit. The proxy statement says that a number of other Microsoft execs received 100% of their incentive awards, including COO Kevin Turner and CFO Amy Hood.
This episode of Tech News Today brought to you by Squarespace.com, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website or an online portfolio. I use it. You're probably tired of hearing me going on and on about it, but it's so darn easy. When I've got the calendar, for instance, on Sword and Laser, it used to be kind of a manual, painful process. But now I go into Squarespace, I open up the page, and I paste in the name of the book. I highlight it. I put in a URL. I don't even have to press a button. I just press enter. Done. It's super simple. They've got beautiful design templates too. I look at some of my sites that aren't on Squarespace and I'm like, wow, that's ugly. I need to put that on Squarespace because they have 20 new beautiful templates for you to start with. All the style options you need to create a unique website for you and your business that looks amazing. And it's incredibly easy to use. Starts at just $8 a month. Includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. They ensure that your site's content can be crawled by all the search engines, not just Google, Yahoo, Bing. Other search engines out there have users. You want to reach those users too. Hosting is included. Squarespace takes care of all that hosting, so you don't have to think about it. Start a trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code TNT10 to get 10% off and to show your support for Tech News Today. Big thanks always to Squarespace for their continuing support of Tech News Today. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. All right, joining us now, we were going to have Darren Kitchen, but he had to bow out with some issues today. Sorry about that. He will be back with us in the future. But Len Peralta is here today to help illustrate the stories, as we like to have him do on Fridays. How's it going, Len?
It's going really, really well, Tom. I'm very glad to be here.
Good to have you here. Is your pen warm, or your stylus, or your Wacom tablet? Or
I was born ready, man. This thing is ready to go and ready to draw some awesome stuff today.
A lot of people don't realize that Len was born with that stylus embedded in his hand.
This is actually part of my hand. It's like a sixth finger.
He waited for years for a tablet to be invented for it, though. It's
quite painful, really. You think about it. All right, let's start off talking about this Twitter IPO. Revenue looks good. The losses are mounting, but everybody says, "Well, you gotta spend this money right now." A lot of people are trying to compare this to Facebook. Facebook was profitable; it had many more users, close to a billion users. Twitter's saying 218.3 million monthly active users. However, Twitter is better than Facebook in that they say they have less than 5% spam accounts. Facebook itself says it's around 7%. They're also not worried about mobile with Twitter. Everybody's worried about, oh, can Facebook make money on mobile? Twitter's already on mobile. 75% of their monthly active users are on mobile because they started on mobile. They started as a text messaging service, if you remember. They're going now into a three-week quiet period. They'll do a roadshow where they'll go around to investors and market the stock. And that means that the IPO will probably come sometime in November. Now, what do we think about Twitter's positioning in so much as it's, like, compared to Facebook, a much smaller offering and not making money yet? But at the same time, people seem more excited about it. They seem more positive about the fact that they will make money. They're positioned to make a lot more money and possibly be profitable by 2015.
Well, Twitter's tied its hooks with a lot of TV companies and content companies, and they seem to have an actual idea of what they're going to be and how advertisements are going to work. Unlike when Facebook started with their IPO, they didn't have mobile advertising. Twitter's been flirting with that idea and how to actually make it work. Twitter's also bought up a lot of its competition. So if you had something like TweetDeck where you wouldn't see ads, well, they bought TweetDeck and that's not an issue anymore. So they seem to have a much different control over the environment that was created around Twitter. So the buzz around this company, I think it makes sense since it's actually pretty mature considering what it is. It's this strange microblogging service that started off like, what are you doing? And now it's this sometimes news source, a pulse for basically what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I think Twitter's strength here is that it doesn't have to convince anybody that it can transition to mobile. You know, you mentioned, Tom, it started out as SMS messaging, basically, and then it kind of got a web interface. And the mobile part of Twitter is already there, so there's not that kind of transition that Facebook had to go through, is still going through, to try to figure out how to monetize on mobile and convince people that they want to look at their newsfeed on mobile devices. At the same time, Twitter, the simplicity of the service is really a thorn in its side, even though it's why users like it so much, because it's simple enough that Twitter has had to be really, really careful about rolling out Twitter cards and multimedia and partnerships with television networks to make sure that all of the expansion makes sense, given that it's built as a very nimble short messaging service.
I also think Twitter has been genius in the way they've rolled out advertising. Every time they've talked about adding advertising over the years, people have freaked out a little bit and then ended up not saying anything when it actually rolls out, which is almost unheard of. Anytime Facebook makes a change, there's the freak out when they announce it and the freak out when it gets implemented, right? Nobody ever likes anything they do. So it's sort of magical what Twitter's been able to do. I saw some other analysts saying that maybe what's going on here, too, is the fact that they changed CEOs three times in their history already. Facebook had Mark Zuckerberg all the way through. So there's a little bit of changing tactics every time you get a new guy in charge. And Dick Costolo has come in and very, very avowedly said, we're going to make money now. We're not going to ruin the product, but we're going to focus on making money. And that was never the purpose of the CEOs in the early days. They just wanted to perfect the product.
At the same time, the revenue is, I mean, it's not really anything that anyone's going to be impressed by. There was some user base. Yes, the user base is growing, but there was some number that was thrown out that everybody wanted to get to by the end of 2013. Twitter's not going to get there. So yes, the user base is growing and you've got some sort of a spam issue. I know that when it relates to Twitter in its entirety, the number isn't very big, but there sure are a lot of spam accounts following my account. You know, I mean, it is a problem. It does exist. And it's permeated Twitter lists as well. So yeah, I've always loved Twitter. I'm bullish. I think that they should be a public company. But it will be interesting to see how they make sure that ads are part of their future.
And whether they can keep that user number growing. It is slowing down. It's right. Growing, but the acceleration is slowing. And that's another point of concern for a lot of people.
Well, Twitter is now old enough so that there are people who are just like, I don't really get Twitter. And it's like, they're just not interested. You know, I think we're getting to the point now where it's less about someone saying, I have no idea what Twitter is. That's for techies. Just not true anymore. It's just
some
people don't think Twitter is a part of their life, and you're not going to convince them.
Well, HTC is going to get some convincing from Microsoft, and they're just desperate enough to listen, right?
They're pretty desperate right now because HTC experienced its first quarterly loss of about $120 million in the third quarter. Sales declined for about a third compared to the last year at the same time. Over the span of a year, HTC's stock has dropped 55%. Cher Wang, HTC's chairwoman and co-founder, has repeatedly ruled out selling the company and has said a low share price doesn't bother her, which I think is a strange thing to say. Share prices have increased on a client note, though, from Fubon Securities that said it believed HTC would team up with a Chinese IT manufacturer through either a cooperation deal or a merger. HTC didn't comment on that. And then there's that Bloomberg report saying Microsoft's trying to get Windows Phone on HTC Android phones. It's talking about adding its operating system. So the idea is either it's a second option. So it's not clear whether it's a dual boot or if maybe you could buy an HTC device and you can actually pick like a BTO kind of order, built to order kind of thing. The talks are preliminary. No decisions have been made. And Microsoft's saying, hey, look, we're not going to even charge you or we'll charge you very little. Is there an answer for what for HTC needs? I mean, they've tried Beats. Should they merge with somebody? Should they just should they jump into bed with Microsoft or should they just try something else?
I don't know. I think we're all just sort of flabbergasted. I mean, the HTC One is a great phone. And if HTC can't properly bring it to market and sell it, I don't know that adding Windows as an alternate operating system is going to help them anymore. I mean, it's a gimmick. it's kind of nifty. I see why Microsoft wants to do it because it can only help increase their share.
But who,
and a lot of people may try it just because they want to try it. But I don't know that that saves the company.
I don't think a lot of people. I think some a segment of people would be like, "That's cool. I would want an HTC phone just to be able to have the dual operating systems." But most of the people who would buy an HTC phone, I can't imagine. I don't really see what the draw is there, especially since the Android platform is so strong. What's the point?
It's definitely good for Microsoft. That's the only thing. For HTC, it doesn't make any sense why they would have a dual booting system. Or just if every one of their phones could have either Windows Phone or Android, if maybe Microsoft's helping with the marketing, maybe that'll help something like HTC. HTC, these are the guys who are paying Robert Downey Jr. like millions of dollars, right? This is their new campaign. So maybe this quarter is an anomaly and they'll turn it around with this Iron Man ad. Well, it's not Iron Man, but it's Robert Downey Jr. I don't know if that's going to make a difference for this thing because their hardware is beautiful and they've gotten really good in design. They've tried the gimmicks with Beats, and I don't think the operating system is an issue at this point. Android's mature. HTC's got a very good or clunky skin, depending how you want to say it, that HTC Sense UI. I'm thinking merger is probably the only way they can go. Partner up with a smaller company like LG or something and just create some kind of super manufacturer.
It's not the only way. They could fire their CEO and get somebody in there who can actually market a good product properly.
If Iron Man can't do it, Tom, what hope does anyone else have? Come on. I just want to remind everybody, I do this every few months when we talk about HTC, that I did predict that HTC would fold. It would be bought.
Okay.
It would be bought.
Well, then who's it?
I said Samsung, but still. By the end of this year.
Who could use HTC? Should Lenovo pick them up?
Yeah.
I mean, we always talk about Lenovo picking up BlackBerry as a concept, and obviously that's kind of around, but like HTC, actually, if they're floundering.
HTC makes a lot more sense for Lenovo if the price is right. I think they're too expensive right now. Lenovo, being a Chinese company, buying a Taiwanese company, that marries up really well. They make great hardware. That's what Lenovo wants, as somebody who makes great hardware. There's a lot of things that do make sense there. I don't see...
Tom, does it make HTC sense?
HTC putting itself up for sale this year. But you know what? Sarah Lane said it's going to happen. It's probably going to happen.
I think probably HTC is... Microsoft is like the vulture, right? Where it's like, HTC is in trouble. We can sort of make HTC
do some stuff for Microsoft. That worked with Nokia, right? That worked really well for Nokia. They got bought. So like, hey, you're doing really well. You're collapsing and we'll buy you. Maybe that's the way to go. It's like,
but they didn't buy all of Nokia. What they did with Nokia is an entirely different situation than HTC. Don't forget. What they did with Nokia is they put their own guy in charge. They made them use their operating system and then they bought part of the company that made sense for them. And Nokia is still going to exist as a company afterwards. With HTC, I don't think you can do that. Maybe you can put one of your guys in charge of CEO, but there's just not enough of that company to split it up the way they did with Nokia. And it's also falling from a much smaller height than Nokia was falling from.
It's just in, Terry Myerson is the new head of HTC. What will happen now?
You're making that up.
No, it's a joke.
I just want to make sure people in the audience know that.
Sorry, that was a little too dry.
Your dry delivery was so convincing.
I believed you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Well, it could happen. It's almost believable. If HTC is desperate, right? If they'll consider dual boot Android Windows phones, which I'm not sure what audience that does appeal to other than geeks who just want to try something out, they'll try anything. Instagram's going to try putting some ads in their feed. That's fraught with peril.
Yeah, this is the real deal. It comes from Instagram itself. Video and image ads on Instagram are going to start appearing for you over the next couple of months if you live in the U.S. These will also come from brands that you don't follow. So for whatever reason, you're following, I don't know, the Adidas photo feed on Instagram. That does not apply to the ads that you're going to see. This is all about discovery. So in the blog post, Instagram said, quote, "We'll focus on delivering a small number of beautiful, high-quality photos and videos from a handful of brands that are already great members of the Instagram community." So by all accounts, they want to start without a barrage of ads that will upset people from accounts that have proven themselves to I don't know, take really good photos or use filters. There will be some ad control for a user. So if you're rolling your eyes saying, ah, Instagram's going to be ruined, you will be able to hide ads that you don't like. You'll be able to give feedback about why you're hiding them. The feedback will then be used to tweak your ads. So it's very much a Facebook model. Obviously, Facebook running Instagram, that kind of makes sense. I guess my question to you guys is, we knew that Instagram, it was just a matter of time before we started seeing ads in Instagram. Huge, huge user base, very active user base. But Instagram, you know, speaking of mobile, I mean, that's about as mobile as you get. It's a single feed. You're looking at photos. It's front and center. I feel like videos are already kind of easy to ignore for me already. So I'm not sure if the ads are also going to be easy to ignore, just scroll past and it's like it was never there. Or do they ruin the user experience?
I don't know if they could ruin the user experience. I'm going through it right now. I'm like, I've hardly ever used Instagram, the app. I use it in Flipboard. So I don't even think about it anymore. Mm. But if it's so easy to flick by an ad. And the thing is, you're already looking at pictures. So you have an eye for, oh, this is interesting. So if a company can actually act like a true Instagram user, and it's not just going to be a bunch of, like, here's a brand new sparkly image versus, like, looking at, like, a local bar that has Taps Petaluma on it and has the tap. Oh, that's like an ad already. I'm already following a business. So how different could it possibly be? As long as you can hide them, like you were saying, that seems like that'd be a good thing. If I don't like this particular ad and then Instagram gets to know me better,
yeah,
then I will actually look at the ads.
Well, I wonder if it also an advertiser doesn't want to go through the trouble of making some very clever 15-second Instagram ad knowing that autoplay is turned off and no one will ever see it, right? So that might be something that would be a possibility in the future as well, is you could turn off autoplay for your friends' videos, but not Burberry's videos.
Yeah, I think they have to follow through on the customization, right? So when I say I don't like an ad, you better respect that. You better respond to that. And I better see fewer ads I don't like as time goes on. And the advertising clients have to play ball too. They have to make ads that don't stick out. I mean, if you see like a beautiful scene for Fiji and it's a travel company and it's, you know, it's like, wow, that's a really pretty ad. Oh, it's travel. Okay. That's probably not going to jar you. But if it's like some garish, you know, 15 point type, you know, primary colors meant to pull you out of the experience and get your attention, that's going to be annoying. And I think that's what it all hinges on is that implementation. If they do it like Twitter has done in the past and make it make sense in the context of your feed, people probably won't mind it too much.
I mean, whether we mind it or not, we're basically going to have to get used to it.
Some of these shots really look like ads. Like there's this Sarah Lane person who took a photo of Safeway, the Safeway sign, this beautiful
looking
thing.
Oh, you know what's so funny too? I mean, this is very random, but an old boyfriend from high school, true story, works at Safeway and hit me up like moments after I posted that and was like, can I use this for our internal marketing?
Yeah, so when Safeway does their own ads on Instagram, they'll be using your picture.
You're like, how much?
That's the way to do it.
Not what I thought about when I posted this picture of Safeway.
If they use images made by real users, that might be a way to do it.
Smart.
Because this does look like an ad, but you took it.
It really does. It was unintentional, but I basically made Safeway look beautiful. I have a gift.
Well, again, that's the key. Like, use real users' ads, and then all the people will be like, "Oh, that's great." You know, come up with things that are just you don't even realize. Wait a minute, I wasn't following that company, but it makes sense in the context of my feed. It'll work. Apple has bought a company, or we think they have bought a company called Q. What does Q do, Ayaz?
Q is kind of like a personal assistant app, or it was. Now, it shut down on October 2nd. I saw the news of that. I'm like, that seems a little weird. And then TechCrunch reports that the app sold for at least $35 million. A lot of numbers being thrown around, either $40 million, somewhere to $60 million. Of course, nobody's actually said the actual number. And Q, it's very similar to Google Now. Q went through your emails, your calendar information, created a daily agenda for you. You'd have all your events, messages, and all that other stuff in one location. They had a couple apps for iOS. Apple's official statement when contacted, if it bought Q, Apple said, Apple buys smaller technology companies from time to time, and we generally do not discuss our plans or purposes, which pretty much means that they've probably bought Q. Now, Apple's already got this kind of today agenda section of Notification Center. Are there particular functions we want to see out of a personal assistant in iOS that just isn't there yet?
No. I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask for this. I don't even use Siri. I realized today when I was researching the next story about the voice of Siri that this is like the first time I've launched it in months. I just don't use it that way. I would like to use Google now, though. I would like to use it more often. I use it on my Nexus 7 and I use it on my browser. So I get why it's kind of cool. So maybe if Apple positions this to work that way, and it has to work that way, where it's telling you things that you want to know, it's almost the same as that Instagram conversation, then okay, maybe I'll start using that personal assistant function more often on my phone.
I think you saying that you don't use Siri is just because it's not helpful enough to you. I use Siri a fair amount when I can't look at my phone. When I'm in my car, I have to add a reminder to for myself or that sort of thing, or you know, maybe text somebody back and I do it via voice. And Q, I actually played around with a bit before it got shut down just for i5 research purposes. But all of these services, and there are quite a few of them, that are basically saying, we're going to take your habits and try to figure out what you're going to do next. Google Now probably being the most well-known, or at least the one that seems to work the best so far, because it's Google. These are great ideas. I mean, this is probably something that Apple should bake into their operating system, their mobile operating system going forward. Notification center, give me a snapshot of what my next week looks like. Yes, have it read to me if that's more comfortable for me. I like the idea of all of this. And for the most part, many of us are creatures of habit to the point where this would be really, really helpful. And it would humanize our technology to the point where, you know, we start to depend on Siri and the iPhone to tell us what's next.
I just want the predictive nature of these assistants to be better. I know Google Now does a really good job when it comes to that, because it's checking your commutes, because you're checking Google Maps and it's saying, oh, like, you probably want to go to this location. Here's the travel time for that. Here's your favorite sports team. Here's how awful the New York Football Giants are this year, 0-4. Thank you very much for that, Google Now. But things like that, if you're going to be using Q, the technology that's in there, Apple is so closed when it comes to iOS. The hooks that they could build into your address book, your calendar, contacts is your address book, all of those things that are in there that they don't allow other companies to dig into. That's what I want to see Apple do something about. Because this today sheet, I guess, on iOS, it's nice, it's somewhat useful, but the information is this list of, here's your weather and here's your calendar and tomorrow you got events. If it was more suggestive, as in it's explaining, maybe you want to try this, or your calendar's packed. Have you thought about reading a book on scheduling or something with an iBookstore? Just something that makes it a little bit stand out. I think they could do something good with this, although I don't know what they're going to do with Q. They're probably just going to use the team to change the font or something.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right that they will do some kind of internal thing where, like, if I use the iOS calendar and I use iCloud and everything, it will have a Google Now-like experience. I think the problem for me is you have to live in all Apple products to do that. And the same thing for Google Now. You have to be living in the Google products for it to really make sense. Mine's working really well right now. I noticed that it's like it knows the hotel, Google Now, I'm saying. It knows the hotel I'm going to check in when I go to a wedding this weekend in Las Vegas. It's giving me weather for Las Vegas and Los Angeles. It's got my flight time on there. It reminds me to wish happy birthday to Rogue Tess, one of our audience members. It's got the Cardinals Pirates updates on here, like that, and packages that I am getting it's crazy good at that. But maybe that's because I use Google for a lot of services. If I want to diversify my services, none of these products are going to work that well, I wouldn't think. ScanSoft, you may never have heard of it, hired Susan Bennett through a company called GM Voices in Atlanta in June 2005. Susan Bennett recorded a bunch of weird sentences, vowels, syllables, diphthongs, 4 hours a day throughout the month of July for a database. Then she went on to her next job, not thinking much on it. Every once in a while, she'd hear a GPS device that had used her recordings and was her voice, and some telephone systems. She also is a voice actor or a voiceover professional. You may have heard her in the Delta terminal at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. Well, ScanSoft went on to become a company called Nuance in October 2005. And Nuance is probably, most likely, 98% sure that it's the company behind Siri. And it sounds like Susan is the old voice of Siri. Now, there's new voices for Siri here in the U.S., and Susan was not the voice of Siri overseas. But CNN asked a forensic audio expert, Ed Primo of Rochester Hills, Michigan, to evaluate Susan Bennett's voice in Siri. He says he's 100% sure it's her. Apple's not talking. Susan can't 100% be sure herself because they wouldn't tell her, but she's like, certainly sounds like me. Check it out for yourself. Here's a clip from the CNN package with Susan talking to Siri at the end.
I went to the Apple site, and that's where I heard the voice, and I just went, oh. That is me. Siri, would you like to be interviewed by CNN?
This is about you, Susan, not me.
So, probably
I don't
her.
Know.
No, you don't think so?
It's I can see where if she makes her voice sound a certain way that it's like, "Ooh, that's an uncanny similarity," but she sort of made her voice sound a certain way when she asked Siri that question. It sounded different than when she was talking before. I'm not saying she's not some sort of a part of this, but she just sounds like a woman. She doesn't sound all that
unique.
Okay,
so you do your Siri impression. Let's see if you can fool everybody.
I don't want to.
Okay, there you go.
But that doesn't mean that it's based on her.
Yeah, that doesn't disprove her point.
Just because I'm not going to do a Siri voice.
So whether she is or not, what's the big deal about this story? It's like, okay, here's an actress who came forward and says, I'm Siri. It's like, okay.
Well, I think the cool thing about the story is putting a face to it, right? This is a voice that a lot of people live with every day. It's become a friend. It's not just the weirdness of like, oh, that's the Delta announcement. That's interesting. It's a person to a lot of people. And now there's a real person. They can put a face to that voice. And I think that's what gets people so interested in this.
Well, by people, you mean you.
No, I watched the video this morning.
I don't think I'm alone.
She did sound, I mean, she sounds
maybe
a lot like
maybe
Siri.
Maybe I'm the only person who's interested.
If she's not Siri, she's a really good impersonator of it, of that voice. And it's just, I saw the story. I'm like, this is somewhat interesting. It's amusing. I just don't, maybe she just needs more acting gigs. It just seems a little strange why this is like, oh, yeah, I'm Siri. It's like, okay, well, great. You're also the voice of that ATM. That's a singing ATM. The first one, which was really creepy sounding.
I think she's a very nice woman. And I don't want to diminish her obvious talent. But where do we go from here? Hey, I inspired Siri. Okay, now what? Are you, like, going to play Siri on Saturday Night Live skits? I don't, what, now what?
This probably means that Microsoft will make sure that she's doing the ads for the Surface ads. I don't know who's doing that voice, because that one sounds dead on, too. Apple was trying to keep this a secret as well, because they didn't want competitors to have this voice. So now that this is out there, it might be a bit of a problem for them. Either they have to, like, look at a non-compete clause or something.
Well, let's talk about something much more fun. The fact that BlackBerry has no money left, or pretty soon won't have any money left.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm such a curmudgeon today. The whole BlackBerry story got me
down.
Bernstein research analyst Pierre Farragut has looked at BlackBerry's regulatory filing, which went out last week, and says, here's the situation. BlackBerry is going to burn through pretty much all of its $2.6 billion in cash in the next 18 months. Of course, this is assuming that nothing really changes. It's losing users at a pretty high rate. It has a stretched working capital, a big off-balance sheet commitment that will turn into cash burn. This is over the next 4 quarters and will lead the company into material liquidity problems. Farragut also thinks that Fairfax Financial's $9 per share deal to take BlackBerry private, it will be dead before it gets regulatory approval. He says, we now believe there is virtually no collateral for a bank loan and no credible story for a breakup to justify more than a couple of billions for the equity. So Farragut has downgraded BlackBerry stock to underperform with a new price target of $4.50. Well, that's pretty bleak. To add insult to injury, Rogers, which of course is BlackBerry's home, Rogers is the biggest carrier in Canada, which is BlackBerry's home country, and obviously if anybody's loyal to BlackBerry, I would say it's Canadians. Many of them will say the same. Rogers says it's not going to sell BlackBerry's latest Z30 model. President Robert Bruce says of the Z30, it's good, but it's on the high end and maybe a little niche-y. He justified the decision by saying, we need to make decisions about what phones our customers are most interested in. Now, Rogers and BlackBerry have a long legacy, good working relationship. In fact, back in February, Rogers hosted the debut of the BlackBerry 10 device line for the country at its head offices. So this is really Roger saying, we're not going to be able to sell this. And, you know, we would carry it. It's not really personal. We just don't think anybody wants this. I don't know. I don't even know what my question is. Do we think that BlackBerry is just absolutely for reals this time screwed?
Yeah, I think okay. So. This is like if Roger's not supporting BlackBerry devices, or at least this particular one, it's like your mom not coming to your play. It's like, wait, you of all the things and of all the people, you probably should show up. Roger's not backing BlackBerry. If it's too niche, what on earth could BlackBerry do other than, well, hope Fairfax buys them out and they can somehow turn it around or do something with it? But for a while, this kind of headline is going to just scare people on top of it, as well as Fairfax, who's trying to buy the company. So if they're going to burn through this cash, they have to figure out how to get this company either profitable, which means cutting a lot more people, cutting a lot more technologies, or trying to break it up in a way that gets them some money. But if they're going to run out of money in 6 quarters, that's not a lot of time.
I think what President Robert Bruce on the Z30 was trying to say was Nietzsche, not niche. Niche. And Nietzsche said, when you stare long into the abyss also gazes into you. And I think that's exactly what's happening to BlackBerry right now. The abyss is gazing right into them, and they can't get away from it.
The BlackBerry abyss also not supported on Rogers. It's another issue.
Yeah, this is horrible for BlackBerry. They're just not... Every BlackBerry story, there's always been a little chink of a ray of light. There's always been, well, but if they do this, if they make this happen, they might. The fact that they don't have enough cash to keep backing, the fact that Rogers won't carry the Z30, I don't see a ray of hope here anymore. Even Sail.
At this point,
they're taking away Sail. They're saying that the Fairfax Financial deal is probably going to fall apart.
Yeah.
At which point, they'll be sold for parts and cash. There won't be a BlackBerry anymore.
Well, the statement says, we now believe there's virtually no collateral for a bank loan, which means there's some.
So you're saying there's some collateral.
That's right. There's the ray of light, the hope.
Good man.
Some percent of a chance in there, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe there's like a very valuable like trading card somewhere
Windows
underneath it.
Really closing though, isn't it? Pardon me.
It's got you
losing
choked up.
I'm about to start sobbing. I don't know.
Yeah, they're running out.
I don't know why I don't enjoy talking about BlackBerry's demise, but we've been talking about it for so long.
You're just waiting for that death rattle,
I want, you know, it's like, I would love BlackBerry to just survive, but I think it's pretty obvious that it won't. So,
yeah, at this point,
let's do this.
You just want to reduce the pain, right?
Right. Yeah.
BlackBerry is in hospice now.
Rip off the Band-Aid. It's only worse taking it off one hair at a time.
Had a four-part poll, straw poll for the live audience today. And number four, I put this one in hoping that we could get some more cats into the show for you, Sarah. But Pet Lovers Pony Up for Interactive Laser Cube only got 10% of the votes. So Boston Dynamics putting Alpha Dog through more field training teaches the Atlas robot to hike over rocks got 16% of the vote. At number two with 28%, the Terminator robots kill jellyfish sliced up to eliminate swarms. It's a robot that goes out and hunts and slices up jellyfish. And at number one, with pretty much close to half of the votes, 47%, MIT inventor unleashes hundreds of self-assembling cube swarm bots. And thanks to Turbulence for submitting that one to the subreddit. This is a pretty crazy looking device. They're cubes. They have no external moving parts. But they do have a flywheel inside that spins around. And by breaking that flywheel, they transfer angular momentum to the cube and they can make it jump, change positions, and even fly through the air and interlock with other cubes by magnets both on the edges and a few magnets on the face for alignment.
So that means we can have transforming devices in the future. Right now, the objects are quite large. And the real thing is, I'm sure people are already putting this into the future. This actually exists. But if you can get this miniaturized and make it smaller and smaller and smaller, you're talking about transforming devices in your pocket, which could be really intriguing in the future because you don't need to carry a lot of different, devices. And this thing can just reconfigure. I'm watching the thing bounce around. That's very impressive.
Those of you on the audio podcast, definitely go to mit.edu, search out self-assembling robots. Because it sounds kind of cool, but you're always like, part of me, when I first read about it, was like, oh, it's probably not as good. These are blocks that jump through the air on their own, seemingly, and reassemble themselves. I mean, get these things small enough. You're talking replicators. You're talking more than just Transformers. I mean, this could be Stargate material.
Right now, you can market this as a toy. It'd be really, really cool to see that. It's like, oh, did you build that thing, Johnny, that Lego? It's like, no, it just did it itself.
Let's check the calendar, shall we?
Let's do it. Sunday, October 6th, Samsung's HomeSync Android TV box is coming to stores for $299. Also on the 6th, Target is going to launch prepaid mobile service for T-Mobile subscribers. On Sunday, October 7th, MIPCOM, or MIPCOM, if you prefer, kicks off. This is the one where people try to sell their TV shows and movies to other people who have more money.
A lot more web companies showing up at that. It's interesting.
Exactly. And looking ahead to October 12th, Darren Kitchen would like everyone to know that Hack 5 is going to do a next version of their Wi-Fi Pineapple. They've got, it looks like a live event that will also be streamed on YouTube. So look forward to that a week from tomorrow.
Let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
It's a message from Kevin, who was a firefighter for 8 years in Grattan, California. Is that Grattan? I don't know what it is. And he was a firefighter. He wrote in about the Tesla fire discussion. Even if Teslas have equivalent fire risk as other vehicles, many fire departments, especially small rural ones, are not likely to have the equipment or training necessary to put out a Tesla fire. Now, he also gave us a link to Tesla's emergency response guide that says battery fires can take up to 24 hours to fully extinguish. Consider allowing the vehicle to burn while protecting exposures. Use a thermal imaging camera to ensure the high voltage battery is completely cooled before leaving the incident.
He also sent us an International Business Times story that had a link to or an embed of the actual incident report. And the guy's talking about how they were having a hard time getting to the part that was on fire so that they could actually put it out because there was so much casing in it. So really, really interesting stuff. And thanks, Kevin, for sharing some of your expertise with us. Appreciate that. Well, that is it for this episode of Tech News Today. But before we go, we must check in with Len Peralta to find out just what his illustrations have produced. Len?
Well, thank you, Tom. Yes, this week, the drawings, I think, are pretty cool. The first one, the first story about Twitter, what they're valued at. You know, this is sort of a simple little drawing. The Twitter
$1 billion in exactly. That cigar-smoking Twitter bird.
I'm going to get really good at drawing the Twitter bird with a monocle and stuff like that by the end of all this. So there's the image for story one. Story two, HTC has a sad. It sounds like there's a lot of sadness going on this week with a lot of tech companies. This one, I thought, the HTC logo with his little sad face. He's crying. Oh, very sad. Instagram. Oh, this is a funny one here. We talked about ads being added to Instagram, and this is what I think it's going to be like. So, right, you take a beautiful picture of a sunrise or a sunset, in this case sunset, and then there it is. Little sunset brought to you by Burger King.
Very subtle.
Oh, yeah, and the like Burger King is kind of like a sun loaf shape itself.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Apple eats Q. I don't really know if there's anything else here. It's just Apple's eating Q. The voice of Siri. I could sense that you guys were kind of struggling with this one, as was I. This is a little drawing of the woman who does the voice of Siri, I guess.
Kind of a narcissist theme going on there.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm with Sarah. I don't know if that's necessarily her, though. But it's interesting to think about, I guess. And then the story before the randomizer, BlackBerry losing all its cash. This is what I envision BlackBerry looking like.
Wow.
Sitting, it's very dark.
It's
very
like Twitter at the end of its life.
Yes. Yeah, I did a whole circle without even realizing that
circle of life right there. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the end of the cycle. And then finally, for the randomizer, the story about all those cubes. Well, of course, I thought about the companion cubes from.
Of course, from Portal.
From Portal. And so they're kind of jumping around and they're just kind of cute. And I think, and I, that's something, if they should work with Valve and see if they can create little companion cube versions of that that jump around your desk. That would be awesome, like little jumping beans.
Yeah, and then they take over.
Oh, that would be awesome too. That's
well,
oh, and yes, and yeah, and you can go to right now if you're in the chat room live, you can go and you can vote on which one of these will end up ultimately in my online store. So you can go there right now and vote.
The online store is peraltartsy.myshopify.com. We have a link to it at the top of our subreddit. And you can also find the rest of Len's great works at lenperalta.com. Thank you, Len.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Also is our subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com, where you can vote on the stories of the day and have an effect on what we cover. You can also go to twit.tv/bestof, not just for this show, but for any show in Twit where you say, that was a great moment. I want that to be in the best of show at the end of the year. Let us know. Put it in. Give us a time code if you can. Tell us as much information as you remember. twit.tv/bestof. You can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us. Our email address is tnt@twit.tv. And you can give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. Our phone number is 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll be back Monday with Natanya Barron as our guest. See you then.